Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Have Eric Lucy from Dubuque, Iowa with us today. Eric has been a volunteer rules official and in some other capacities for a couple of years now, I think, Eric, if I'm thinking my math right and thinking back. But how have you been?
I've been great. Everything's good.
Yeah, before we dive in, why don't you introduce yourself and kind of tell us about yourself.
As you said, I'm from Dubuque, Iowa, and pretty much lived here my whole life. And actually didn't take up golf until I was well out of high school, and started getting more serious about playing the game. But when I say serious, I mean on a regular basis, probably maybe 25 or 30 years ago. And I just really got into the history of it and the enjoyment of it, and the one of the reasons why I got into the rules is I knew I was breaking a lot of rules and I just didn't know which one. So I wanted to learn more about that. So the officiating almost came along by accident. And I'm still learning a vast amount working with you guys. So I know I'm in the early stages of that area. But as far as family, I have a wife and three sons and we have four grandchildren. So I'm very, very fortunate. I retired about 7 years ago to help coach tennis, high school tennis, and I'm still doing that. And then I started helping coach the golf team, the high school golf team as well. So that takes up a lot of my spring and fall time, and try to do as much as I can in the summer to enjoy some golf, both as recreationally and helping out where I can.
Well, as a lot of our listeners were probably doing the same thing. The Masters just wrapped up this past weekend. Eric, did you get to watch most of that?
Absolutely. This is Masters week is a holiday in my house. And thankfully, my wife is just as excited about it. My wife is very much into golf. She loves to watch it and really enjoys it. And she knows a lot of the players' names. And so I'm not doing it by myself, which is really nice.
Well, that's awesome. Kind of a team effort for the Masters week, huh?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, that leads me into kind of our episode today. You have quite the collection, I'm going to call it, that deals with the Masters. Why don't you tell us about that and maybe kind of how that all got started, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I never had collected anything in my life and didn't really have a desire to. And I was fortunate enough to have been invited to be a patron at the Masters starting in 2004. And I was fortunate enough to be invited back every year for the next 11 years. And I just the place, anybody that's been there will tell you, it's just awe-inspiring. Everything about it and the history of Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts and how it was the Fruitlands Nursery prior, and Indigo Plantation prior to that. There's just so much history, and there's no other tournament like it. All the tournaments have something special on their own, but the Masters is the one that, if you're a golfer, it's like I said, it's like a holiday to you. And even if you're a non-golfer, it's the one tournament that people tune into every year. And people who don't even golf, or maybe just play a couple times a year in a scramble at some local charity in their own home, this is the one that they tune into. And so I was keeping the badges from the years that I went, and I thought, oh, that'd make a nice little display if I just kept those badges. And then a good friend of mine suggested, gosh, you should see like about collecting the other badges, you know, from previous years. And I thought, well, that could be kind of cool. So I started digging into that. And so I had run into a couple people through the collecting side of it that one of them said, well, you can collect the plastic badges is what the more modern ones they call them. They started in 1961, but you'll never be able to find the older ones from the 50s and the 40s right. and the 30s. Well, that almost felt like a challenge to me. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to see about that. And so that's where it started, is I just started focusing on the badges and collecting the badges. And it took me many years, but eventually I was able to acquire all the badges starting from the very first year of the Masters Tournament, which at that time was called the Augusta National Invitational. It wasn't called the Masters, I believe, until 1939. And that really just started getting things going and the people I met in the process. So that's where it started, was just my own collection of the tournaments that I'd been to and then deciding to like really get into the collecting of it. And the history is, as I've done it, has just been so much fun.
So Eric, when you were first kind of, you know, taking on this challenge, especially to find the older ones, I mean, were you obviously looking online? Are there kind of groups out there? You talk about kind of the collection kind of side of things. Kind of tell us about that, I guess.
Sure. The plastic that's how they're referred to in this collection world from 1961 to present, someone could get that collection and probably get that all done through eBay in a matter of maybe a year. I think that's very possible. The older paper ones, they were a thick stock paper or a linen type material. You can actually see the threads in it.
Okay.
It was just a happenstance. I had gone to the Chicago Sports Show, and it's a huge, it's at the Douglas E. Stevens Arena, used to be the Rosemont, I think.
Okay.
And I thought I was just going to go there just to see if they had any golf master stuff. Well, you have to imagine, picture an Olympic sized swimming pool, and half that swimming pool is baseball, and the other half is football, basketball, hockey, you know, other sports. And there's probably about, maybe a quarter cup of golf.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. Yeah, there was literally one, maybe two tables in this massive area. And I happened to be wearing a Masters shirt, and a fellow that was there, I'll name him Kip Engel. He turns out he is one of the partners in the golf auction, which they specialize in golf and right. particularly a lot of Masters memorabilia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we started talking and visiting, and it turns out that they were in the process of auctioning off a 1934 and 1935 badge. And those are the 1930s are the absolute most difficult. There's probably just a handful of each even in existence that we've seen. And him and I hit it off really well. I decided I was going to focus. I was, I'm going to get those. Mm-hmm. And that really started the ball rolling, because to own the 34 and 35, now you're considered a serious collector. And that started getting me connections with other collectors, and including people who maybe had, you know, they might have had a badge or two from the 50s, or somebody else had a badge or two from the 40s, and they were ready to let those go. Because they were getting up in the age and they wanted them to go to a good home. And I think I started to get a reputation in the collecting world that I was an actual collector / historian, as opposed to a collector / broker dealer, because there is a whole segment in all collecting world. Doesn't matter what it is, but in sports in particular, there's people that all they're doing is they're acquiring something and then reselling it. And I've never done that. All of my items have been purely for the collection, the appreciation, and to share it with others. And I think that's really helped me, is that the community, if you will, in this world, because there's others who are just purely doing it for profit, and they don't have as many people or are willing to want to trade or sell or, you know, give their items up to someone in that category, if that makes sense. And there's no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing if somebody wants to do that. It's just that I think my reputation within the collecting world was of a different level. So that helped me to start getting more focused on the older tickets slash badges.
Well, and like you said, you know, the seller or the, you know, the collectors that have them, they know that you're collecting, you're not just getting them and turning around and selling. That's probably opened some doors as well, you know, that led to another badge or someone else or a contact that maybe knows somebody. And it probably just takes off quicker than you realize.
Absolutely. I mean, I can think of multiple situations. I think of one in particular because the badges are my cornerstone of the collection. I mean, that's the, for lack of a better term, the marquee part of the collection. But as I started doing it, then it's like, okay, now I have the badges. What's next? And so I decided, oh, I'm going to start collecting golf balls, signed golf balls from each of the champions. And there's some of them that are pretty difficult to find, and particularly try to find a Tiger Woods or a Ben Hogan. Well, I had a fellow that, just to illustrate what you just described, is a fellow from a businessman from Dallas, reached out to me unsolicited. I'd never heard of the guy, never met him. But he somehow got my number, called me. And he said, hey, I've been collecting Masters for years. I'm getting ready to retire. I don't have room for all this stuff in my house. I have a lot of items in my office. And I wonder if you'd be interested. And I said, well, sure, absolutely. Send me a list of what you have and what you want for it. And he had a Tiger Woods signed golf ball that he personally had signed at the Byron Nelson Classic, which was the next tournament at that time after the 1997 Masters, when Tiger had won. And this guy had been a volunteer, because he lived down in that area, had been a volunteer at this tournament for years, saw Tiger down at the practice range at 6:30 in the morning, and decided he was going to take a chance. And he asked Tiger if he would mind signing a ball. And since there was nobody else around, he obliged. And he did a similar thing. He actually went to Ben Hogan's office and asked Ben, because he had met him a couple of times at the tournament, and asked if he wouldn't mind signing a ball, which he obliged. Well, when I asked him, I said, well, what do you want for him? And I knew about where they would cost. And sure, he told me, and I says, whoa, wait a minute. I said, you could sell these on auction for easily 10 times what you're asking me. And his response was, Eric, I want him to go to a good home.
Right.
because I told him, I said, I really appreciate the offer. I said, I feel like I'd be taken advantage of. He says, no. He says, I've heard about you and I want them to go to a good home. So that's just one illustration, but that had many other examples. Sure. Where people were wanting to help me, for lack of a better term, to acquire some of the things that I wasn't able to acquire in person myself.
You mentioned about just kind of the happenstance of the, you know, the early badges that you found there in Chicago. Do you have and you probably have several, but maybe a couple of stories of kind of how you maybe came across a certain badge that's kind of interesting, or that you, when you look back on, you kind of laugh and be like, I don't even know how that just happened.
I was down at the Masters one time, and I was there the weekend before the tournament down in Augusta. And I thought, you know, most everybody spends their time on, if they've ever been there, they're very familiar with Washington Road. That's right out front of Augusta National. And that's where most of the people, when they go to visit for the tournament, spend their time, you know, going to the restaurants and that. Well, I decided I'm going to check out the downtown and really kind of find out more about Augusta, the town and the community itself. And I ended up walking into went to get a coffee someplace downtown, and right next door was a antique store. So I thought, I'm going to go in there and check it out. Well, this old fella, and you know, I say respectfully, he was an older fella, he had to be in his 70s, Neil Gingold was his name. And I struck up a conversation with him. And I started asking him, hey, do you ever have any bad? Oh, they come in once in a while. And so we got to talking and I showed him what I had. I had a picture in my phone at the time of what I had and what I was still missing. And he was instrumental in helping me find a couple of them, especially from the 50s. And he would call me and say, hey, I've got somebody that just brought this in. You're on my list. You're the first person I'm going to call. And then there'd be other situations where there was something else. Maybe a pairing sheet or spectator guide, or because I've this illness of mine, if you will, has just spread out to more things Augusta National and Masters related. So, I mean, that's just one example. I there's another one. I have a badge. It's a ticket from 1937 and another one from 1939. And I was contacted by someone that has a relationship with people in Augusta and Atlanta. And he said, hey, and this is somebody I got to know very well and became friends with. And he said, hey, there's somebody that has a 37 and a 39 and they want to sell them. And I said, well, how much do they want for them? He told me. And I says, gosh, they should put those on auction. They certainly get more than that. And he says, they don't want to put them on auction. They're a prominent family. They don't want the general public, if you will, to know that they're selling them. They just want to, you know, and I told them about you. And they said, well, this sounds like the right person to go to. And it turns out the 37 was actually signed by that year's champion, Byron Nelson. And it's in pencil because they didn't have Sharpies back then. Sure. But so it's a little faint, but it's, you know, it's easily recognizable. So there's another example of just the connections and the relationships that have been developed over the years that have helped to make this happen.
You mentioned, you know, the older ones obviously are tougher to come by and probably just some probably have just deteriorated where they're not, you know, they're not available anymore. They've been thrown away or whatever. But I'm just curious, say in the last, oh, I don't know, 30, 40 years, maybe 50 years even, is it more of who won that year or is it simply just the age that kind of dictates maybe how available those are, or is it kind of a mix of everything? You might happen to upon one that you would think would be hard to get, and then one is maybe more recent or something like that. Just curious about that.
Yeah, sir. I think in general, you really have to look at pre-Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
You know, before Arnold Palmer came on the scene, one, golf was not televised. Okay. And it wasn't the everyman sport, if you will, that it is today. And people didn't collect things. They didn't save things. And most of them, like I said, they were made out of like a thick stock,
right,
paper or a linen material. And they used strings to hold, you know, that you'd wrap around your, you know, your shirt button or right, something like that. And when people were finished with the tournament, they just toss them out. And so people didn't save things back then. If they did, it was, you know, used as maybe a bookmark, you know, or it got stuck in a scrapbook that maybe got lost years later. It wasn't really until Arnold Palmer came on the scene, one with just his, you know, popularity, but also television. They started televising the Masters in the late 50s. That people then started thinking about hanging on to these items. So you will find there's lots of items in the 60s, 70s, you know, to current. But prior to 1958, they're just very hard to come by because people just didn't save that stuff. They just didn't hang on, or it was a very small percentage of people saving it. Now there's lots of people saving you know, their tickets. I mean, heck, and that's in all sports, you know, whether they're keeping their baseball ticket or their basketball ticket that they went to an event. And then as far as who won it, yes, that can have an influence. If it's something historical, I'll take the, I mean, as the most recent one, the 1997 badge. That one, I could regularly find those. And I would buy duplicates. I'd find duplicates of them that I would get just because I could get them at a very reasonable amount. And because of Tiger and what he's been through and how he's come back and his win in 2019, his stock has gone up dramatically. Now, I don't sell this stuff, but I know that the value of it has gone dramatically up. So that, you know, those are some historical things. Anything Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer related are always going to, Ben Hogan, those are always going to be more valuable as well.
Have you seen, now you, refresh me, maybe you said this earlier, kind of how long you've been doing this, but do you get more and more people reaching out to you, not only on the badges, because you mentioned you have some other things like, hey, I have this, or like, hey, my, you know, my grandfather had this and, you know, I don't collect or anything like that. You get more and more people reaching out to you for stuff.
Yeah, that happens. I'd say equally, if not even more, someone will reach out to me and just get my, opinion. Hey, what is this worth? Or what do you think I should do with it? And again, I think I was using an example. There was somebody that had they hand out a spectator guide when you get there that shows all the players, shows every hole, how each player qualified. It's a spectator guide. Well, this lady had run across, I believe it was her grandfather's, and it from 1950, I think it was 1958. I have a picture of it she sent to me, but it's signed by multiple people from back then. Mm-hmm. And it's all in pencil, but it has like Craig Wood, which is an very difficult signature to find. Claude Harmon, even more difficult signature to find. Multiple champions. And there's people that would just say, hey, oh, that's probably worth about, you know, $1,000. I'd give you $1,000 for it. And that person, unbeknownst, might be very happy with that. Where I said, do not sell it. I said, I would love to have it. Because you have some signatures that are, I won't say impossible, but especially Claude Harmon and Craig Wood, very, very, very few of those are out there. And I said, you should get it authenticated, which I'm very confident that is authentic, based on what I've seen that you showed me on the signatures, but get it authenticated. And then you keep it and you take your time to decide what you want to do with it. But the value of that is certainly worth more than $1,000. And so because of that, you know, she will tell somebody else if that, you know, that runs into, hey, here's somebody you can trust. They're not going to try to swindle you, take it from you at a cheap price. They'll give you a fair, if they do, you know, if he does want to buy it, he'll give you a fair price for it. I think I get a combination of some people reaching out because they know it's going to go to a good home. And then there's other people who just, hey, I've got this. Can you tell me if it's real? What's your opinion of it? What do you think it's worth? What do you think I should do with it?
That's interesting. Because like I said, I'm assuming it's all of the above as far as kind of the avenues that, you know, have presented themselves. And a lot of it probably out of the blue. You get a phone call and it's like, wow, that's awesome. Let me hear more, get me some more information, a picture and all that stuff. So that's probably pretty exciting.
It is. And I just enjoy sharing and talking with that other person about the history of it and letting, you know, I learn so much and I have learned so much through this process. And I'm continually learning. And because there are people who are much more versed in this world than I am, I've just been very, very focused on Masters and Augusta National. I mean, that's all that I focus on. But I just enjoyed the conversations that I've had. I've met some really neat people over the years and had some really great experiences because of this.
Eric, you've mentioned your collection has expanded past badges, and you know, you have some pairing sheets and some different things. What are maybe, and I don't know how to guess phrase this, but what are some of the more unique things that you've collected or maybe thinking about collecting that maybe you have maybe one or two of or something like that? Is there anything that's, you know, unique that you would say that's, you know, maybe kind of not something somebody would think of, like the badges or the, you know, the spectator guides or the hats or anything like that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't collect any of the merchandise.
Okay.
Other than I do, the only thing I collect of the merchandise is the commemorative pins. Every year they starting in 1992, they had a commemorative pin. It's, oh gosh, it's about the size of your thumb. It's not very big. Sure. And so that's just, and they're not expensive. I think you buy them at the shop, the merchandise shop there for like $8 to $10, but it's just kind of neat to see those, you know, pins, you know, how they've changed over the years. But one of the things that I started doing a little bit is every year, I think they started in 1946, they would give a gift. Augusta National would give a gift to the members and in some cases the players, and in some cases also like staff, when I think like people in charge of something, like the head of the rules or head of the grounds or something like that. But mostly it's for members and players and special guests, and every year they do a gift. And so I have some of those items that I've acquired. You know, one is a bridge. I've got a few of these that I've found is a bridge set. It's in a leather binder, has two decks of cards in there, has a score pad and says Augusta National on it, and has the Masters logo and actually says, and then the year 1964. Champions dinner plates. If you ever see any photos of the champions dinner, you'll see these plates sitting on the table, green circle that has the Masters, I should say Augusta National clubhouse on it. Mm-hmm. And kind of gold trim. And they were giving those, they did a set from 1992 to 1997, where they would give two plates each year and they were each numbered. 92 was plates one and two, 93 was plates three and four, and so on until you had 12 plates.
Okay.
And I've gotten two sets of those. They're just some other things. So those are kind of unique, that because those were, there wasn't a massive supply of them.
Right.
They only gave them out to a small group. Those are kind of interesting. Now they've had all kinds of other things. They've had sewing kits and jewelry purses and, I think they even had, ashtray, yeah. Believe it or not. Well, I suppose back in the 50s, that was pretty common. So items like that are kind of neat to have because, you know, it's a small group of people that actually receive those.
I think it's interesting because I would say I'm a small collector of things, and it's more probably Augusta National more than Masters. But I kind of started where I'd stumble upon things that usually eBay people would list as Masters, and I was just keen enough that I'm like, well, yeah, that's where the Masters played, but this item is Augusta National, which is different. I actually found a gentleman who was selling actually a variety of things. And it was kind of like we talked about, it was like an in-laws like grandfather, and you know, nobody was really a golfer and didn't want him. And he's like, well, I want him to go to a good home. And kind of like you said, he kind of priced him like, you know, he could get a lot more probably elsewhere, but he's like, I want to get him to somebody that's going to appreciate him. So that's always kind of interesting finding things that people maybe don't always know what they have. And sometimes I'll reach out to them and be like, hey, like, yeah, this is where the Masters is played, but you actually have like an Augusta National visor or like deck of cards. I've seen a deck of cards and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, that's, you have something pretty cool there. And then they're like, oh, wow, I didn't even know. Or like, you know, I was given to, you know, an uncle's brother had these and gave them to me, and down the road they go.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There is a distinct difference between Masters logo and Augusta National. Yeah. And yeah, I actually have, I think that's neat that you also see the difference in that, because there is a distinct difference, because anybody can find a Masters flag, for example,
right?
But the Augusta National flag, which it looks very much, it's, you know, same color and everything, yeah, same, you know, but it says Augusta National on it versus Masters.
Yeah.
Well, that's only sold at the members pro shop. And so only members or their guests can purchase those. You can't buy those on the open market. And those are unique. Or like you said, the decks of cards, there's lots of cards out there that say Masters on it. You can buy those in the merchandise tents when you go to the tournament. But the ones that have the Augusta National logo, dramatic difference. Yeah, same. I have like rock glasses, you know, like you would use for, you know, a cocktail, that's have Augusta National logo on it, or a menu, a dinner, you know, a leather bound dinner menu, that says Augusta National. These are items that you could only see or find in the clubhouse. You weren't going to get them at the merchandise tent.
Yeah. I actually, same guy. And actually, I wish I would have known that your collection goes beyond the badges, because he actually had, I think it was a towel that was like, but it wasn't like a golf towel. I mean, this is like a clubhouse towel that had the monogram, you know, Augusta National on it. And then he actually had I think it was a sheet to like a, and it made me think of like the crow's nest. It was like, I mean, it was an older sheet. You could just tell because it had some, you know, some age to it, that had like the, you know, the Augusta National emblem on it. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I got to talking with this guy, and like I said, he was telling me it was in-law's relative or something. And so it's funny how that stuff, you know, appears once in a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there it's a much smaller percentage of what you'll find out there, with the Augusta National logo on it.
Well, Eric, I appreciate you you sharing your knowledge and your collections, because I apologize. I didn't know it went so far beyond the badges. I mean, just the badges itself was intriguing to me. And I thought, you know what, with the Masters, you know, wrapping up, this would be a good time to get a hold of you. So I appreciate you sharing.
No, I always, and I have to temper myself, because I know that I get excited talking with others and sharing, and then learning from other people, and particularly people, you know, I've talked to probably half a dozen people just this past week that were going for the first time, and being able to share with them, okay, here's, you know, if you're interested, I'll share with you, where's a good place to park? You know, what time do you want to get there? Do you want to set up a chair? You know, when to go to the merchandise tent, have your stuff, you know, just tips and advice, so that will help them. I just enjoy talking with other people about it and learning about it. You know, people, a lot of people will ask me, especially in this collect, if they're collectors, whether it's of golf or any other sport or item, you know, genre or whatever, you know, because it's unheard of to get the full collection. It's a very, there's, to my knowledge, there's three people that have the whole collection of the badges. And for me to have done it in the time frame that I did it, and people say, well, how did, you know, what advice do you have for somebody who's going to collect something? There's really one very important thing. There's a couple things, but most importantly, be specific. If you're a baseball fan, you could, oh my gosh, you could go forever collecting baseball. Okay. Paraphernalia, items, whatever, autographs, but you'll end up having a room or a basement full of stuff. Okay.
Right.
But so what I tell people is, well, decide who's your favorite team, you know, okay. If it's the Cubs as an example. Okay. Well, then focus, only collect Cubs, and then maybe even go tighter than that. Maybe you only want to collect items that are Hall of Fame, or you only want to collect a certain year. But the more specific that you get, the more laser-like focused you'll be. And you will then, it does a couple of things. One, you end up finding and getting connected with the right people, but also because this stuff does cost money over time.
Sure.
Your budget won't get all used up on things that you really don't care that much about. Okay. Sure. But if you know, I want this and I can put this in my budget for this collection, well, you're not spending money on something that just takes up space. And that has helped me more than anything is I only will look at things that has to be Masters or Augusta National related. There could be a really nice Jack Nicklaus autographed or Tiger Woods autographed US Open flag. I don't even consider it because it's not in my wheelhouse. Sure. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, you could collect a lot of things that are kind of on that broad spectrum, but if you laser it down, you can really hone that in, which makes a lot of sense. Eric, I meant to ask you what was the last badge? Obviously there's new ones every year, so you're probably either have a 22 on the way or in the works, but as far as kind of going back, was there one, what was kind of the last one that was like, okay, I'm glad I finally found this one.
Well, it's going to be the 2021. The 2022, I already have somebody reach out to me that him and his daughter had just attended and they don't keep them. And so we talked actually yesterday and I said, hey, if I'd be happy to buy your used badges off you. And it took us about 5 minutes to make that transaction and they'll be here next week. Nice. But the 2021, I have a ticket, a daily pass ticket, but I want to get a badge. And because of COVID and the limited number of patrons, there's just not a bunch of them out there.
Sure.
And so I just need to be patient. I have the ticket, but I want to eventually replace that with the badge. So it'll come around. I'm just going to have to be patient. But it's this whole collecting world of golf is really, I've been doing it for about 20 years and it's a lot different today than it was when I was, like I said, small percentage of collectors that collected golf. That is starting to become more global and more people, looking for those items.
Well, Eric, I won't keep you. I know you got some things you got to get done here this afternoon, but again, appreciate you coming on the podcast and we'll see you out on the tournament trail this summer at some point.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a great learning experience and you guys have been absolutely fantastic and very patient with me as I learn the process and make my mistakes out there. And so this year I'm hoping to minimize those and be of some help with the Iowa Golf Association.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it. And like I said, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Clint. Enjoy.